Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
We thank you that this place is a place that will see your presence and your miracles. We invite you in to disrupt our plans. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, something that's been on my heart, something that's kind of exciting me a little bit, some studies that I've been doing, is on promises and covenants. And I'm going to try not to make it too confusing, but it is something that the Lord's been putting on my heart. So I copied a couple definitions off of some websites to kind of give a little bit of a brief definition. So a very brief definition of a promise is to assure someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, undertake or declare that something will happen. And the definition of a covenant is simply just an agreement between two parties. So a biblical meaning of a covenant is it coming together. It presupposes two or more parties who come together to make a contract agreement on promises, stipulations, privileges, and responsibilities. And a biblical meaning of promise is a divine declaration or assurance made, this is just something that I copied, at first to Eve, Shem, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then to the whole nation of Israel, that one, he would be their God. Two, he would be their, or they would be his people. And three, he would dwell in their midst. The blessing of land and growth as a nation, as well as the call to bless the nations, was part of the promise to Abraham. So, generally when we read about the covenants in the Bible, there's two different types. There's a conditional covenant, and there's an unconditional covenant. And today, I just want to kind of share a little bit of what the Lord was showing me on unconditional covenants. So, there are four main things that kind of constitute a unconditional covenant, or what we might know as like a covenant of promise. Just a covenant between God and his people, that his promises, there's no condition. There's certain ones that do and some that don't, but the first is there's a proposal. There's a proposal or a promise that God makes. Two, there's an acceptance of that. Three, the covenant confirming meal, and for a blood ratification, okay, like a sacrifice. So just kind of keep that tucked in. We'll touch back there a little bit later. So the promises and covenants of God are from a father to his children. Promises of how to handle different situations, how to be loved by him and to love others and just basically be his children. His promises raise us to walk in his ways. He promises to prosper us and give us all we need to thrive and reign in life, not just to live this life day to day, you know, however we really want to. His promises are to draw us near to him and just simply be his. And, you know, they are from a father that planned for us to be here. Okay, so let's face it, you know, not all of us are planned by our parents. I know that I'm not, and that's okay. I'm an oops. You know, it's just the way it is, and that's okay. But he planned for me to be here, and he planned for you to be here. So you know, that being said, he just wants to love us and take care of us and nurture us and guide us. You know, even if we had bad parents or bad relationships with our parents, you know, it's okay because God's our Father. God has that plan. God has it all worked out. And there's a lot of books. You always see the books on the bookshelves, and I have a few at home. We always read these books of the promises of God. But from me reading these books and reading the scriptures, God never said the words, "I promise." He said the words, "I will." You know, we live in a world that promises are made to be broken. We have that saying, promises are made to be broken. But God doesn't, you know, what he says is a promise by definition, but he says, "I will." So this is my will for you. And, you know, he spoke the world into existence for his purpose and plans with the power to be accomplished. And, you know, all his fatherly promises have been spoken over each of us also. Just like how he spoke the world into existence, they're spoken over us and have the power to be accomplished too. And they're just spoken from a amazing Father's heart. So I kind of wanted to shift a little bit because Jesus made promises and covenants too. And I don't see as many books on the promises and covenants that Jesus had made us, because His promises and covenants come from a little bit of a different perspective, more of a bridegroom to a bride. And, you know, the promises of how we're loved by him and how to love and teaches us really to what it looks like to be his bride. And just like the Father, Jesus doesn't say, "I promise." He says, "I will too." And I just have a couple of different promises that I want to touch on. The first promise he makes is a promise of salvation. So in John 6:37, it says, "All that my Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, never reject anyone who follows me." Amplified version. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door of the church and continually knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, restore him, and he will be with me." Anyone that comes to Jesus and enters into his presence is met by him. The second kind of promises that he makes is to be usable for the kingdom. And in Matthew 4:19, he says that follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. When we enter into a relationship with Jesus, there's no limit to what he'll do through us and in us. There's just nothing that will hold him back from accomplishing everything that he has planned for us. In Luke 47:48, it says, "Everyone who comes to me and listens to my word and obeys them," there's a little bit of a recurring thing that happens here, "that listens to my words and obeys them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a far-sighted, practical, and sensible man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house and yet could not shake it, because it had been securely built and founded on the rock." He promises to walk with us and lead us from victory, from a perspective of victory, no matter what the circumstances are. He gives us a promise for rest. Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." And nothing can come against us when we're in that rest. That rest just gives us the peace and the clear mind to face any challenge that comes against us. And he gives us a promise of eternity. John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am." We have this amazing truth that You know, we can just live in our hearts each and every day that He's coming back for us, specifically, you and I. And we will meet, or He will meet us and sweep us into His arms. You know, you just imagine this return, you know, as a husband to a wife type of a situation. He'll sweep us up into His arms and love us in a way that we've never experienced. And lastly, the promise that I want to kind of focus on a little bit is the promise of the Holy Spirit. John 14:14-16. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He is the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually, and will be in you. So, something that I kind of wanted to focus on here is I want to read 2 Corinthians 1:19-20 first, and then we'll jump into that. So, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So something that's been in my heart the last few weeks, I've changed jobs and I have a lot of driving, and I listen to a lot of worship music and a lot of different things. There was something that I had read that really just was profound to me, and it's in 1 Corinthians 1:22. It says, so again, I'm reading two different versions this time. It says, He has also appropriated and acknowledged us as His by putting His seal upon us and giving us His Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of His promise. So the Passion Translation, I don't know if you guys read that too much. Like, this one just really opened up my heart to a different understanding of His love. So it says, He knows we are His, since He has also stamped His seal of love over our hearts and has given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. Like, that just, I don't know, in my heart, that just like kind of messes me up a little bit. in a good way. But it's something that was in my heart over the last few weeks. And what I heard was that if the Holy Spirit is the engagement ring, then His crucifixion was the proposal. So instead of getting down on one knee to propose to His bride, He hung on a cross for us. He professed His love by sacrificing Himself. And that was His proposal. He was saying, this is what I'm willing to do. These are to just lavish you with all the promises and all the love that I have for you. Like, this is what He was willing to do for us. And, you know, that gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, in a sense, really just enters us into this marriage type of covenant between Jesus and His bride. You know, you and Jesus. And, you know, so what Jesus did is propose to us the promise. Then there was a confirming meal. We know it was the Last Supper. The blood ratification was his sacrifice, His crucifixion. And there's only one more part. He did all His part. He made the promise. He had the meal. He had the sacrifice. All we have to do is say, I do. Just like in a marriage. You know, we come face to face with Him in His presence and just say, I do. And He'll lavish us with everything that he has. In God's perfect marriage situation between a husband and wife, you know, man and woman, we always have the proposal, we have the I do, you know, the accepting of the proposal or the promises that are made. There's always a reception, and I'm not going to get too into it, but there's a blood ratification in God's perfect situation. We'll talk about that later if you like, if you don't know where I'm going with that. but when we entered into this covenant with him, when we say, I do, we enter into this covenant that restores us back to true relationship with God. And in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, so it is written in Scripture, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, an individual. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Jesus restored us back to a relationship full of life with him and the Father. As though we are are before what we call the fallen man. So we're kind of restored back to this relationship where, you know, God would come and walk in the cool of the day with his children. We're back to a relationship just full of just unstained relationship. And to live in the reality and truth of this, his word and his promises and covenants, you know, we are betrothed basically to a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We live in this anticipation of his return, and he is preparing a place for us. So when we press into his presence and live in this covenant, we live in the truth of his promises to us. So when Jesus spoke his promises, they're for all who love him. And if we remember what it says, how to love him is keeping his commandments and obeying them. So that's how you truly love me. When we walk in that presence, these promises just become truth. It becomes what we live every single day. When we enter into that presence, true life really happens. It brings life to our spirit. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about what that kind of stuff looks like. So in John 6:63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, providing eternal life. And these words he speaks are life. The words he speaks, the promises that he's given us from 2,000 plus years ago, these promises are still strong. They're still alive. They're still, you know, they still have the power to be accomplished. And they're just spoken, you know, as out of this amazing love that he has for us. And being in that presence, being face to face, is really life. Matthew 16:24-25 says that, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. That is life with me for all eternity. Part of his promise is life with him for all eternity, which starts now. This covenant and promises he gives, it gives us acceptance. It gives us acceptance in the Father's family. In John 6:37, all that my Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, never reject anyone who follows me. We get to live as sons and daughters of God. His promise brings revelation of who he is and how he loves us. So John 14:21 It says, the person who has my commandments and keeps them, again, has my commandments and keeps them, there's a little trick right there, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him. You know, when we love him, we are loved by the definition of love itself. And in 1 John 4:7-11, it says, beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love and is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent his one and only begotten Son. And the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, into the world, so that we might have through him, we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for justice against sin and his wrath. Beloved, if God has so loved us in this incredible way, we also ought to love one another. Not only are we loved by love itself and have that intimacy with the bridegroom, that and have the Father will go no ends to show us how he feels about us. You know, when we are in this presence and in this covenant, we become that same love to one another. We become that same forgiveness. We can give peace. We can give joy. We become the very attributes of what he is because we're in that presence. And his promise brings friendship. John 15:14-15. You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you my friends because I have revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You know, we can go to Jesus with whatever is on our hearts. You know, he wants to listen and reveal to us everything that he's doing and what the Father is doing and what he wants to do in our lives. You know, we get to partner with him. And finally, his promises bring joy. In John 15:9-11, it says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. His promises bring complete and overflowing joy, so much joy that we can't contain it. But we find joy in every situation, no matter what comes against us. And in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with a joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. There's strength in Nehemiah 8:10. And do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. He promises peace in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength in every challenge. And no matter what life throws at us, we have victory through that perfect peace. This time here on earth is only temporary. It's very short. You know, we have eternity waiting for us. We have Jesus waiting for us. We have, you know, everything you read about heaven waiting for us. We get to bring that here. When we keep his commandments and we obey those commandments, we draw closer to him. We can rejoice like the angels rejoice. You know, Luke 2:13 says, "Then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased.'" You know, we can just glorify him and praise him in everything. You know, when we praise him and worship him and let his words abide in us and stay in that word, we draw closer to him. You know, I think that sometimes we complicate it a little bit too much. You know, feeling like we have to do this or we have to do that or we have to be in a certain place. Or, you know, a lot of times, I talk to people like, you know, like I need to get right with God, but, you know, I got to do this first. It's not how it works. You just come to him just as you are. You come to him with every pain and sorrow and things that you've done in your past, and you know that none of that stuff matters anymore when you come into his presence and you follow those commands. You know, he has the plans and a hope of an expected end or a future. Jeremiah 29:11. We can experience the fullness of all God has for us in this life if we love him and keep his commandments. We can find all that we need right here in the Word. The more that we do, the closer we draw to him. You know, I always love how John refers to him as the one whom Jesus loved, you know. And he refers to sitting next to Jesus and resting his head on his bosom, or his chest, or his shoulder. And, you know, just that intimacy that, you know, sometimes in this culture we would seem to be weird or you know, a little bit whatever. But it's just like we can have that kind of intimacy with one another and it not be that way, you know. And we just have that same closeness. We can live in his presence, you know, whenever we want to or we don't. We have that choice. He's not going to force us. And all we have to do is seek him, press into his word and his spirit, and just want to know him more. You know, he promises to reveal all who he is when we do, just like John. You know, John 14:21, there's an abundant life that he promises that we can live. And John 10:10, Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. You know, he just doesn't say these things just to say them, just to entice us to follow him. It's truth and it's reality. The reality of the finished work of the cross is available whenever we choose to seek his face. You know, he already made his proposal. You know, all we have to do is say, "I do." And when we say, "I do," we live as his bride. So I want to challenge you guys this week a little bit just to kind of think of that relationship a little bit more of like a marriage type of a covenant. That, you know, the only thing that you have to do is say, "I do." You don't have to be a certain way. You don't have to live a certain way. You just have to want to be loved by him and just say, "I do." And enter into his love, enter into his promises, and enter into the joy and the peace that comes with it. Amen? So I'll pray. If anybody wants to stand, you stand. If not, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for just making it simple. And I just ask that you just give us peace. Give us the peace and understanding that, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. That you did all the work, and all we have to do is come to you and say, "I do," and just sit at your feet and praise you and honor you and glorify you, Lord. And I just ask that you just soften our hearts and open our hearts to understand your truth and your reality that we get to live in each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my